begin?
Hold it, David. Stop wiping your nose.
73A.
73A. Let's go see what's on 73A.
73A. So we're talking about the three arotzos, which is, I mean, it's a simple concept. The Mishnah just explains it a little bit more. Lama amru shlosh arotzos. Why did? What was the significance of the three subdivisions? That you could eat in each one of those subdivisions until the last of the produce disappears from it, from that subdivision.
You mean within each one?
Now, he has an important point here in the beginning, in the middle of footnote two. I just want to mention it because this is a subtlety which I did not realize when I read the Mishnah yesterday. It emerges, this is the third line of the second column, it emerges that the beer deadline in this area depends upon two factors. A, the availability of the produce in the Galilean and Transjordan area regions, and B, its availability at the Mountain of the King. Wait a second, am I reading this beforehand? No, I'm jumping the gun. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. I have to read this after I read the Mishnah a little bit. Yeah. So right. So it's actually this is Pashat. Actually, Achan Shabbat. Now, Reb Shimon says, "Leam Ushal Sharatzis El Bihudo Ushal Kol Haratzis Baharamelach." Kaharamelach. So we showed you on the map before the Mountain of the King, which is like somewhere in the east side of Judea. Mm-hmm. So. He holds that the only place that we have these three subdivisions was in Yehuda, but all the other lands don't have any subdivisions. They have no subdivisions. Rather, they'll use this mountain as their marker. So, in other words, what they'll say is like this. So this is a little this is a little detailed over here. So if let's suppose I'm in Transjordan, and all of the produce is gone from Transjordan, but there still is produce on the mountain, right? That's so.
Mountain of the King?
On the Mountain of the King, whatever, that's what we're calling it, right? So what's the rule there? So this is what he says. So the beer deadline is dependent on two factors, the availability of produce in Galilean or Transjordan areas, B, availability at the Mountain of the King. Now, as long as there's produce anywhere in Galilee, these areas are not subject to beer, even if all the produce has already disappeared from the Mountain of the King. Okay, so even though nothing's on the Mountain of the King, but there's still produce in these arotzos, good enough. Okay, that's good enough. On the other hand, if all the fields of Galilee and Transjordan are entirely exhausted, they still don't have to have beer if there's still some produce on the Mountain of the King.
So as long as one of them has produce, you're okay.
Exactly. If one of them has produce, you're good. You're good. But that's only for those areas, not for the Mountain of the King. I'm not talking about the Mountain of the King per se itself.
Do you know what that is?
What? The Mountain of the King?
The place.
It's on the map.
The northern part of Yehuda.
Do we know what the mountain is?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Yeah, it's in the appendix. You see it very clearly. They show it to you here. Yeah, right over here. In appendix two. In the big map there on the right, there's a big Mountain of the King there, right in the center there of the Judea mountains, Mountain of the King. It's north of Jerusalem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Anyway, the reasoning behind Reb Shimon's ruling is the beer is required and produce is no longer available to the beasts of the field. The reason there are separate beer times for different regions is animals do not roam from one region to another. Once the fields of a particular region are depleted, even if there's produce, it has effectively disappeared for the animals of that region. If Shimon holds, the beasts of Galilee and Transjordan will seek food throughout these two regions and the Mountain of the King, but they will not roam elsewhere in Judea. So it's a very interesting, these animals, they know where they are. They know that this is Judea and this is the mountain of King. You know, like,
well, they know they're the, what level. They're either lowland animals, mountain animals.
Yeah, but here we're saying that they're aware of political divisions, geographical divisions, and won't cross over from Galilee into Judea. That's
a mountain goat's going to live in the mountains. That's what it means.
What's that? They all had ways. Yeah.
They had ways.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
The beasts of Judea, however, including those of the mountain of the king, will not roam beyond their individual sublands. I mean, this is unbelievable. So if you're in the sublands, that means one of the three subsections of Judea, you're an animal, and you're in, like, you know, and you're in the mountainous part of it, you won't go to the valley part, you won't go to the lowlands part, you'll only stick to your mountainous part. It's just very interesting how these the animals have their very territorial. Anyway, all the land of Eretz Yisrael is one when it comes to the olives and the dates. So that means what he says in the footnote, and this is unbelievable, if you're an animal and you like olives, you will go the length of Eretz Yisrael to find that olive. So until the olives have completely been depleted from the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to do beer. It's unbelievable. It's great. This is great. It's all one for olives and dates. Okay, very interesting.
And what's interesting is that people knew. In other words, how would you know that there are olives left somewhere
in
somebody's field?
I don't know.
So all the animals are running there.
This last clause, just to make sure it's clear, he points out in the bottom, just to make sure it's clear, the last clause is not Reb Shimon. This is Stam, that's a Stam Mishnah. Okay? Next. Let's start the Gemara. Very interesting Gemara here. The Gemara says, first it quotes the pasuk that we've been quoting all along. What I right away noticed when I was reading this is not what I was expecting. I thought it says, Kol zman that the chai is in the soda, ata ochel min habayis. It does not say that here. Our Gemara says, Kol zman that the behema is ocheles min hasoda, ha behema ocheles min habayis. So it's a little change from what I'm accustomed to seeing. I don't think it makes a difference.
Chayas and behemas, that's what.
I'm saying I always thought it what the pshat was for my personal consumption. And when I'm home, I did what determines whether I can eat my food is whether that's isa l'chaya basada. But here the Yerushalmi throws a curveball here and throws in the word behemo chalas b'bayis.
Feed your animals.
Yeah, that's really not the point. Kol l'chaim and asada kol l'behem tom l'bayis. Okay, that we know. Now, Rav Chaim bar Ukva b'shem Rav Yosi bar Chanina, Shiaru Lomar, they judged it to correct to state the following rule: Ein Achaya Shebahar Gedel Ba'emek. This is what we were just saying, that the beasts of the mountains do not thrive on the food of the valley; they'll stick to their region where they're, you know, comfortable. V'lo Gedel Achaya Shebahemek Bahar, and the one that's the beasts that are in the valley, they won't go on the mountains. Again, he writes the same thing. Okay? Fine. Now the Gemara says this very interesting story. You have this Roman emperor named Diocletianus. And whatever his name is.
Yeah.
We'll call him Dio for short.
Yeah, Dio.
Or Dicle. A'ik Livne Panyas. He was giving, he was oppressing. A'ik is to cause him pain. To the people of Panias. Panias, again, it's like Banias. Yes. It's also known as Banias of Pamias. Uh-huh. Or Pamias.
I've been to Banias.
So he dwelt there for a time as emperor, as related in Yerushalmi Trumas, whatever. So he gave them a hard time. I'm late. So they said to him, Ananoslan, we're going to leave. We're going to go live someplace else. Amalei Sufista.
Were they Jews?
I guess they were. I don't think it makes a difference. They said we're moving out. We're not going to hang around here while you rule with an iron fist. Amalei Sufisto, so a sophist, that's a wise and man, an advisor to the king, said to the emperor, laws and law, they're not going to go anywhere. Don't worry, they're not going to leave. They're big talk, but they're not going to actually leave. The in Azenlon, and if they do leave, Azenlon, they're going to come back. Okay, so don't worry about it. The Ibois Mivdukhan, if you want to check that what I'm telling you is true, Asyid Tavim, bring a deer. Shalchan La'ar Drachika, send the deer off to a distant land, and guess what's going to happen? Ubisof, in the end, Inun Chazun La'achareyim, they're going to come back to the original place. Because that's the same way the deer go away and come back, the same thing is true for people. You get accustomed to a certain environment, and you don't leave. Avad Cain, so he did this. Aisi Tavion, he brought some deer. Chafi Kanehim Bichsaf, he put some silver on their horns in order to be able to mark them, obviously, so you can know that these were the ones that came back, like we do nowadays. The scientists tag the animal's ears, right? Mm-hmm. This is the old days, they didn't tag the ears, they put silver on the horns, okay?
Yeah.
Veshalchan Afriki, send them off to Africa. And then, not right away, but at the end of 13 years, of Basof, Klas Esrin Shnin, at the end of 13 years, Chazan Lachrayon, they came back to their original place. So this is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You send the animal away, and they come back. So
he
this
doesn't
proved,
say what the people did, though.
The people, yeah. he said, don't worry about the people. They're not going to leave.
What?
They have. They somehow know how to get back to where they were. Yeah. Yeah.
You saw footnote 10? Yeah.
Footnote 10?
Yeah.
They were in captivity in Africa for 13 years. After 13 years, they were released. And immediately came back. No, I didn't see that. How about that?
I mean, they would have been back right away.
Right.
I was wondering what took 13 years. Because deer can move pretty quick, you know? Anyway, all right. So, whatever. So they remembered. I guess the Chiddush over here is they remembered their home area.
Even 13 years
13
later.
13 years later, yeah.
They were still alive, the same
view. Tani, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Simon Loharin Milan. So now we have different, these different geographical areas, right? So we have the mountainous area. So a Simon, or hallmark, the way he translates it, is the gallnut, okay? Gallnut trees. La'am Malkim. The hallmark of valleys, you know you're in a valley. Tomorrow you see date trees, date palms, mm-hmm. right? Linacholim, the hallmark of rivers, is Karnim reeds, Lishvela, lowlands, Shikmim, the sycamores. Avamishen Raya Ladovar, even though there's no proof, but there's a Raya from a Pasuk, the Esha Arazim, Nasan Kashikmim, Asherva Shvela Larov. Shlomo HaMelech made cedars as abundant in Yerushalayim as sycamores in the lowlands. So you see that there are sycamores in the lowlands. Okay. Whatever. So, now we're on 73b. Ish d'boi meimar l'midas ha-din itmar. Some wanted to say this was regarding the sale of land. So that means if I make a tanai with you, I'm going to sell you a mountain, right? So, the land, it says over here, without stipulating its topography. What would that mean, not stipulating its topography? I didn't map it out. I didn't map out the coordinates. Yeah. I didn't map out the XY coordinates, right?
So topography is the elevations of the land. It's not the coordinates, it's the elevation.
So what does it mean? I didn't map out the topography when I sell it to you.
Where the mountain was and where
the valleys, where the dips, where the so you don't know where the highs and lows of the land.
So let me just get this straight. I'm buying a mountain from you.
Right.
What is it that
different elevations on the mountains.
Look at number one.
So I don't know which mountain is the problem. I don't know which mountain. What is it that I don't know?
That is just the elevations of the land. How low and how high and the different cuts in the land. That's topography.
And each one of those has one of these simonim.
It's not coordinates.
If one contracts to sell a mountain without stipulating further as to its topography, the land must have gallnut trees growing on it.
Because it's a mountain.
If I contract to sell a valley, it has to have date palms.
Because it's a
So in other words, if it's not possible to have a mountain without a walnut.
That's what it's saying.
That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? I can't have a mountain without a walnut tree.
Why can't it be the opposite? If you have that kind of tree, it's on a mountain.
Look at the third paragraph in one.
Of course, mountains do not always contain walnut trees, nor do valleys always contain date palms. These signs were needed where it was unclear how a given area should be labeled. Uh-huh. So the presence of the tree tells us that this truly is a mountain.
In other words, when it comes to beer, and it depends on what type of topography it is, and you bought a piece of land, and you know the coordinates, but you don't know what category of land this is, if there's a walnut tree on it, it's a mountain.
Or I sold you 30 acres of land in the valley. And then you take me and you say, here it is. I say, uh-uh, this ain't the valley.
Because there's no date palms there.
That's right.
Okay. Well, maybe there's a walnut tree there.
Or there's a walnut tree there, so it couldn't be a valley since it has a walnut tree.
Right.
So you can't have a walnut tree in a valley.
No. It's not exclusive.
How do you know?
That's not what it
said.
No, it says, because there are places that don't have. They grow in different places, but if you don't know what to call it, a simmon of what you should call it, you have to call the tree there, you can call it a mountain.
All right. So anyway, so there are those who wanted to say this that the purpose of these simonim was limidas hadin, which is for telling us hilchos mechachom memkar, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not a king.
One second. Okay. The Istaboy Lamemar, La Egla Rufa. Some say it's regarding the Egla Rufa. Because the Egla Rufa, of course, everybody knows there has to be in a Nachal Eson, right? So he translates Nachal Eson as a raging river. I never knew that was the translation. I thought it was a dried out area. I didn't know it was a raging river. No, anyway.
Now you know.
Yeah. Now, Meiri, it says over here.
Eitan means strong, no?
Interprets Eson as referring to the rock-hard banks of the stream. Okay. So it's a rock-hard valley. Anyway. With its hallmarked identification, the Brisa teaches that unless reeds grow in its shallows, a river is not considered a nachal for the purpose of the mitzvah Egla Rufa. So this is what that is. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of other simonim. So I guess the purpose of pointing out what the simonim were was for the purpose of only the Egla Rufa for the Nachal, and since they were mentioning it, so they mentioned the others already as well, but not because they wanted to point out anything special. Okay. Now, in the next part of the Gemara, for the rest of the page, it's really a lot of identification of maps and places. I mean, there's nothing. I listened to someone say it online, and all they did was read it, basically.
They ran through it.
I don't know what to make of this. We'll give it our best shot, okay? Ezo emek begolo. So what's the valley of the Galilee? Kugon bikas ginosar chavroseha. That's the valley of Ginosar and its fellow. So if you look in, let's see here.
Not the page. Another page.
It must be another page. Yeah, over here it doesn't have it.
Because it's higher up. This is lower.
This is the lower part, right. Yeah. So too other valleys like these are found in the Galilee. The Mishnah stated that in Judea, the three sublands are the mountains, lowlands, and the valley. The Mishnah does not provide the locations. The Gemara is going to say that does say locations. Oh, how should be Yehuda? What's the mountain? It's the Har Melech. That's the mountain of the king. So that we do see over here in the middle of the map over here.
Mm-hmm.
And Ushvei Lasso. And what? And the lowlands. So what's that? Ushvei Las Darom. That's going to be the lowlands of the south. So he doesn't say in the map, it doesn't, it's, oh, there is a, there's a label. There's a label that says lowlands there. If you look on the left there, it says lowlands. Mm-hmm. The valley of Judea, En Gedi ad Jericho. So you go from En Gedi on the right there to Jericho, also up on the right. So it's you see the dotted line there. That's the thing. That's the valley. That's the valley. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to identify the mountain, lowlands, and valley of Transjordan. I didn't mention yesterday. You know, I forgot to mention the Transjordan. We normally, most Rishonim learn that Transjordan is the other side of the Jordan River. So it's actually east of the Jordan River. The Rambam has this wild pshat that he quotes over here that it's referring to the west of the Jordan River all the way out to the Mediterranean, which is very difficult. But that's apparently...
Well, you know, it depends on which side of the Jordan you're on. The other
side
is always the trans side.
Trans. So what is it, Tony? Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kagon Hori Machar Gedor Chenki Yotze Behem. That Machar and Gedor, let's see, can we find those? Yeah, Machar, if you look on the map, you see by the Dead Sea, right next to the middle of the Dead Sea on the right.
Machar.
There's Machar. And Gedor goes straight up north. Right, you'll see Gedor there in the middle of the place, right?
That's in Transjordan.
So the mountains from the that's like a mountainous region. You can see it says mountains next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So all those mountains, that's going to be the mountainous area of Transjordan. V'chein kiyotze b'hen. And other mountains like these. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ushvei Laso. Now the lowlands. That's Cheshbon. Let's see if we can find Cheshbon. There, all the way on the right, there by Ammon, where it says Ammon. Right below that, it says Cheshbon.
Now we see
Mishar, Dibon, Mamos, Baal, Ubeis, Baal, Ma'on. So all these other cities that he mentions, or Ubeis, Baal, Ma'on is there on the south. Dibon, is that mentioned there? Yeah, Dibon's down all the way on the down all the way down on the south.
Plains, yeah.
So all that stuff, right, where it says plain, right, lowlands, good. Now, what else? The Emek Shiloh, it's valley. Let's see, do they have something labeled valley? Yeah, you see it says, where it says Transjordan, right to the left of that, it says valley, written on the vertical. So, Emek, it's valley, a base Haram, a base Nimra.
Yeah, these are all cities mentioned in the Torah.
Base Nimrod, base Haram, it's right there along that dotted line, right? Can you go to them? All those in the, yeah. Verse says, Uva Amek, base Haram, base Nimrod, Besukha Sitzafim, Yasim Mamuk Sichon, Melech Amari, Asher Melech Becheshbon. So what's that going to prove? I'm not sure. Let's see. In a note to the Mishnah, we cite a various Rishonim who hold that when the Mishnah speaks of Transjordan, it refers to the land situated on the west bank of the river in Eretz Yisrael proper. However, from the Brisa cited in our Gemara, it seems clear that it's the east bank, which Moses captured from Sichon. Right? So, I mean, it's pretty clear you're on the... This whole Transjordan area is on the east side of the Jordan River. So it's very difficult, that Rambam. I'm not sure about where that Rambam is actually coming from. It seemed to me... that he was using a translation, the original Ibn Tibbon, or Pirush HaMishnayos al Rambam, to come up with that Shita, because I think he may mention that Kapach in his Pirush HaMishnayos does not have the Rambam saying that. So anything that comes from Ibn Tibbon is totally not reliable, as far as I'm concerned. Kapach is the certified shot.
Uh-huh.
Next, base Haram, base Hormas. Did I read that already?
Base Haram.
Let's see. What are these? These are cities with names by which they were known in the vernacular. Base Haram, base Ramasa. That means base Haram is known as base Ramasa. Base Nimra is base Nimrin. Sukhastar Allah is Safon Amso. Okay.
Good to know.
All this is good to know. Shreila Shabahar Kahar. The lowlands and the mountains are like the mountains. Harsha v'shrela kashrela. And the mountains of the lowlands are like the lowlands. So in other words, like this. So if you have a mountainous area, but in the mountainous area, obviously it's not straight mountains. There's going to be certain areas which are going to have
a valley.
So that valley in that mountainous area also has a local like the mountain, meaning that the animals that live in the mountains will come down and venture into those valleys to eat their food. Therefore, the whole area is counted as one contiguous area. Lagabi the din of bia. Okay. Min ma de tani. How do I know that? Pahar v'haro, mountain and its mountain. Emek v'imko. There's a brayso that says that emek, the valley and its valley. Shefel u'shvei laso, the lowlands and its lowlands. Hadamra shvela shabahar kahar. That the lowlands and the mountains are just like the mountains, and har shabashvela kashvela, the mountains and the lowlands like the lowlands. Amar Biyasi, we have a proof from our Mishnah, Masi, so Amar Kain, Fahar Shalah Kahar HaMelech, that its mountain is like the mountain of the king, meaning the mountain of the other areas, right? We base Choron Vad Hayam Medina Achas, from base Choron until the sea, it's a single land, that the area of base Choron contains areas of all three topographical types, mountains, lowlands, and valleys, yet the Mishnah says that it's a single land. Clearly, the presence of higher ground and lower ground does not alter its essential character. Basically, that's the idea here, that it's all one type of land. Okay, and then we'll stop here.
Well, now it's good to know.
That was off Ayin Gimel, correct?